Turn with me in God's Word this morning to the book of the Psalms. A great love for the Psalms. Psalms have much instruction, much comfort, and much encouragement to the people of the Lord. Many warnings are contained therein. And we turn to the Psalm 80. Psalm 80, reading the entire psalm together, considering what the Lord would have us to hear from His Word and what the Spirit would instruct us in this morning. Psalm 80, commencing at verse 1. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. O Lord, God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen, and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs unto the seas, and her branches unto the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven, and behold, and visit this vine, and the vineyard which thy right hand has planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the son of man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Father, we trust that thou would be pleased to stamp your own approval upon the reading of thy most holy word. Bless it to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. If you would please turn again to the Psalm 80 that we read together. And perhaps verse 14 and 15 in the main. For our text, but drawing from the whole of the psalm, the lessons that the Lord has for our hearts this morning in this house. But before we turn to the Word, we want to again turn to the Lord and to seek His help and His blessing upon the spoken Word. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Your presence thus far. We thank Thee for the hymns that we have been singing. Lord, make them the prayer and the desire of each child of God's heart, that we would see the Lord come in mighty reviving power and stirring us, Thy people, to work while it is yet day, for the night cometh when no man works. We thank Thee, Lord, for the provisions that Thou hast given to Thy people, and so in order them that they might give to the house of the Lord and to the work of the Lord. We pray that Thou would bless the tithes and the offerings to the furtherance of Thy kingdom, and for the glory of thy name. Bless now in the preaching of the word. Undertake for thy
that weak servant, undertake for those that will hear. Give them an ear to hear what the Spirit saith unto the church even today. Bless us together round thy word, for it's in thy name we pray, and for thy sake. Amen. Amen. The psalm that is before us, in part, forms a lament. A lament or a cry of the state of the people of Israel. A great expression of sorrow pours forth from the lips of Asaph. He views the land, a land in disarray. He sees the people of Israel as a people who are not where they once were. It is, as it were, a looking back. A looking back to a great time of prosperity. A looking back to a great time of spiritual blessings. To a time of close fellowship and of great communion with the Lord and His people. But in verse 2, the psalmist draws our attention to three particular tribes. He draws our attention to Ephraim, to Benjamin, and to Manasseh. And he does so. He does so that this would trigger the thought and the mind of the children of Israel. Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh are the three tribes that were in close fellowship with the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant is set forth as the presence of God. It's set forth as the strength of God. When the Ark moved, these three tribes moved with it. When the Ark sat down, these three tribes sat down with it. They were always in that close communion and fellowship with the Ark, which represented the presence of Almighty God. And Moses spoke to the Lord on that particular instance at the time of the ark and the three tribes. And he says, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." See, Asaph was calling to his mind. He was calling to remembrance, and he requested the Lord to manifest himself just as he had done in the face of these three tribes by the means of the Ark of the Covenant. Asaph's desire was that the Lord would turn his eye toward the people again. That he would come and lead them and defend them as he had done in the past. But now he looks upon Israel. Now he views the people, and they're not what they once were for the Lord. They're not as strong as they once were. Instead now of blessing abiding upon the people of God, we see in the verse 4, God being angry. God was angry with them. We see in verse 5 that there was no comfort for them. And we see in verse 6 that they were at odds with themselves. There was rivalry and bickering and strife and envy and murmuring among themselves. So much was this rivalry and strife and discontentment that the enemies laughed at them. The enemy was happy. The enemy was rejoicing. They had nothing to do. Only sit back and laugh at the disarray that God's people were now in. This is the lamentable position and condition that he views. But it's not only a lament. It's not only a lament for the latter half, or the biggest part of this psalm is a prayer. Yes, it's a cry. It's a cry to God. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. That's his opening words. That's a cry to God. That's a longing that God might come again as he had in the past. This is not just an old man looking back, surveying his life. This is not an old man looking back with a heavy heart and a desponding soul. This is not an old man looking back and reflecting on what it used to be, discouraged now at what he sees. This is a man looking to the future. This is a man looking to the future, and he's looking to the Lord. His cry goes up. His cry goes up, O Lord of hosts. This is us again. This is us again as you have in a past day. He longed for it. He longed for it. He yearned for it. He likened the people of Israel to the vine. And how the vine needs the showers of blessing. It needs to be watered. Me and the little grandson planted a few seeds the other day, a week or so ago. And he has run around the corner ever since. What's he looking for? He's looking for it to grow. He has watered it that it might grow. And here's the picture of the vine. We have a greater picture of it in the New Testament. Over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 13. It's the barren fig. It's the barren fig. Yes, yes, the owner of the vineyard, he had made his visit. He had come to see his vineyard on three successive years, one year after the other. And he came to see if it was progressing. He came to see if it was productive. He came to see if it was in good health. He came to see if it was producing fruit. And year after year after year, he came for 3 years and he found nothing. I tell you, there's a reminder here that the owner of the vine is going to visit. He's going to visit. And what is he going to find? What is he going to find when he makes that visit? And this is what the prayer is of the psalmist here. The Lord, that the Lord would come and visit his people. In the same way as the owner of that vineyard in Luke 13 came and inspected his vine. That the Lord would come and inspect his vine. That he would come and inspect the vineyard. Sam has seen that things weren't just right here. All was not well. There were those things that caused the vine to be less productive than it ought to have been. And he saw that there was only one. There was only one that could make a difference to the vine. Only one could make a difference to the children of Israel. And so he calls the Lord in the words of verse 14 and he says, return. Return, we beseech thee, O Lord God of hosts. Look down. Look down from thy dwelling place. Look down from heaven and behold. And what's his final cry? And visit. And visit this vine. That's his desire. Oh, my subject this morning is simple. I'm not a profound preacher. I'm just a simple servant of the Lord. And my subject this morning is a much needed visit from the Lord. A people in need of God. A people in need of Christ. Once Israel was fruitful. We learn that in the Psalm from verses 8 down to the verse 11. We see it there. It's there for our reading. It's there for our understanding. It was fruitful. God had brought Israel out of Egypt. And he had drove out their enemies. We see it in verse 8. And he drove the enemies out. And he himself had planted them. He had planted them in the new land. In a land that he made for them. Over there in Hosea, we read what the Lord has declared he would do for his people. Hosea 14. Hosea 14 and verse 5, he says, I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. Here's what the Lord said he would do. And he did it. And he did it all. verses 5 and 6 of the psalm that we read. But now, thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and givest them tears to drink in great measure. In great measure. Verse 6, thou makest us a stripe unto our neighbours, and our enemies laugh among themselves. Oh, there was a time they were strong. They reflected on that in the verse 9. It's a picture of their strength. The Lord had planted them. They understood that. And the Lord had made room for them. They could look back on that and they could see that. He did it for himself. The hills were covered. Verse 10 and 11. It speaks of their prosperity. They grew. They grew under the sovereign hand of a great and mighty God. They grew and prospered well. Their roots went out to the seas. Their branches went out to the rivers. Their branches covered the breadth of the land. Such was their prosperity. But now something's wrong. Something has happened. She's not any longer that fruitful vine. She's no longer that vine that bears much fruit for the Lord. Now she's weak. Now she's sickly. Now she's vulnerable. No longer has she the strength and the influence in the land that she once had. She requires a visit. She requires a visit. She needs one to come who can get to the very root and the cause of her problem. One who can get right into the very detail of her problem. Is this not a picture of God's people today? Do we not view ourselves this morning as the vine? Is it not true that the Church of Jesus Christ today is not what you once was? She's weak. And do we not, as God's people this morning, realize that we need a visit? We need a visit today. We need a visit from the Lord. He has brought us out of sin. He brought us out of Egypt. And He planted us in Christ. He set our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus. He cast out the enemy of our soul. He cast out the wicked one. He made room for us in Him. Oh, some of us in this house can look back to days of great blessing. Oh, we can look back to the day when the Church of Jesus Christ was in prosperity. When the Church of Jesus Christ was marching forward for the cause of King Jesus. But something has happened. Something has happened and we're not what we once were for the Lord. Surely this morning in this house, surely the cry must be from the church. Surely the cry must be from every believer that is found in Christ Jesus. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice? Let me this morning bring it a wee bit closer. Let every one of us in this house this morning make a personal examination of our own heart. Let us examine our own heart in the light of God's truth. Oh yes, it may be that there is some child of God in this house, in this meeting room today. And this is a picture of you. This is a picture of you. Oh, once you were strong for the Lord. Once you were that bright shining light for the Lord. Once you were found in every meeting that the church officers called into being, you had a hunger, you had a longing to be in the presence of the Lord. You had a longing for the prayer meeting. You had a love for the Lord. You had a love for His day. Not doing your own pleasure. Not going your own ways. Not talking your own talk. But you had a love to serve the Lord on the Lord's day. But something's happened. Something happens. You have not that zeal. You have not that longing. You have not that yearning. Your strength is dried up. It's like the field today. The farmer has sowed his seed, his grain in the field, and this lovely weather, and the seed and the grain, its tongue is almost hanging out for water. It's dried up. It's lonely. But you have become dried up. You're like the field. You have no water in your soul. You haven't been there drawing from the well that never runs dry. Perhaps there are some today, and that's how it is with you. Oh, how easy it is for God's people to lose out with the Lord. We are so easily distracted. We're so easily distracted. Many things take demand upon our time and make demand upon our time. Oh, many, many things take our eye at the expense of being alone with the Lord. At the expense of getting into the closet and closing the door. Like we learn so much in Scripture. The disciples often met with the Lord in that closet when they were in the room and the door was closed, alone with the Lord. I'm not saying this morning that those distractions are sinful in and of themselves. That ought not to be in the believer's life. Sin ought not to have dominion over the child of God. I'm talking about those regular things that have to be taken care of, but they seem to press in upon us as more important than our time with the Lord. We are so easily removed from our fellowship and our communion with the Lord. But it may be brought about by opposition. Opposition can take us away from the Lord. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 35 felt, that's how he expressed the words in Psalm 35 verse 12. He says, they rewarded me evil for good. Is that what has happened to you today? Oh, you've been kind and good to somebody and they have rendered evil for that. You know what the psalmist says? They rewarded me evil for good to the spoiling of my soul. To the spoiling of my soul. It may be that those people have bore false witness against you. Yes, verse 11 of the same psalm points to the same thing. False witnesses did rise up. They led to my charge things that I knew not. They told a lie about you. They told a lie about you. Things that you knew nothing about. They made it up and they bore false witness. And it's grieved you. It's grieved you. Verse 20 says, it may have been that contentious person. It may have been that angry person. That angry word spoken. For they speak not peace, but they devise deceitful matters against them that are quiet in the land. I tell you this morning. We need to be careful how we deal with men. We need to be careful how we deal with others. If we strive, if we bear false witness, if we render evil for good, it will be to the spoiling of the souls of men. It will be to the spoiling of the souls of men and of causing individuals to be hurt that their soul melteth with heaviness. Depression sets in, grief and sorrow becomes a burden and it becomes hard to pray and it becomes hard to read the Word and it becomes hard to get alone with Christ and our eyes drop from the Master and our eyes drop from Christ and we become weary and we become sorrowful. Verse 12 of the psalm that we read together reveals to us the lack of attention. The lack of attention to duty. That's what has brought in this weakness. That has brought in this a moving from the Lord. They've been distracted. Oh, it may be by strife. Yes, it may be by false witness. It may be by somebody's angry word, but it has distracted you. That has took your eyes of Christ. The hedge was broken down and the people became careless. They became careless. The laborer has a duty. The laborer has a duty to keep the hedge and to keep it well fenced. We live in a farming community. In the heart of the country we live. And, you know, I go out and I'll sit at the back door and I'll gaze around me and I'll look around me. And we have dairy farmers. We have beef farmers. We have sheep farmers. But our house is right bang in the middle of the cereal farmer. The farmer that grows the wheat, the corn and the barley. And if he doesn't keep his hedge, some of those neighbouring cattle, some of those neighbouring animals, they're going to break in. And they're going to trample down the tender plant. They're going to tramp down the corn or the barley or the wheat. Is that not what we have in verse 13? The boar out of the wood does waste it. And the wild beast of the field does devour it. There was easy access. There was easy access. And it came in by carelessness. It came in by the lack of attention. They're being distracted from their duty. The boar here is a picture. Yes, it forms that picture. The scriptures is wonderful, you know, men and women and young people. It's all about pictures. It paints the picture for us. And the picture here is of the boar, which is hidden or easily concealed. It's easily concealed. The boar's natural inhabitants is the woods. And in the wood it is able to conceal itself. It can creep in, as it were, unseen. And it can bring destruction. And it comes through the broken hedge. It comes through the broken hedge. Is this not how sin creeps in? Is that not how it happened in Genesis? The subtlety of the serpent. He crept in. It does not come in an open way. It sneaks in. It creeps in. It doesn't come with a big banner up above its head and says, don't touch me. It creeps in. It doesn't make that big announcement. Through the hedge that is broken down because of carelessness. Carelessness in your life. You don't pray as much as you used to. You're not in the Word as often as you once were. You're not in the house of the Lord as often as you could be. Is this not the warning that Christ Himself gave to His disciples in Matthew 26? Is this not the word of warning that He said to His disciples, watch and pray. Watch and pray lest ye enter into temptation, for the Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, my friend, this morning, sin will not warn you off. It'll come gift wrapped with a lovely wrapping on it and a lovely bow on it, and it'll pretend that it's everything, but what it really is. It's like the boar in the wood. Sin conceals itself that it might creep in. Secret sin. Secret sin robbing you of your victory. Robbing us of our victory. And it is not long until that sin, that secret sin of the heart affects your whole life. It affects your whole living. It affects your whole thinking. Because sin can only be concealed for a time. It can only be concealed for a time. It will come to light. Does God's Word not teach this? Behold, your sin will find you out. It'll be revealed. It's like the animal in verse 13. There are two animals mentioned in the verse 13. We have dealt with the boar. The boar is the secret sin. But look at the animal. Do you notice where the animal is? Do you see where he is? He's in the field. He's in the open place now. The boar was in the secret place. But now the animal is in the open. He's in the open place. He's there for all to see. There's no hiding place anymore.
Oh, the boar may cover himself under the trees and under the undergrowth. But the animal is in the field, plain for all to see. The boar is the secret sin in your life. It's crept in there. It's crept in there. But the animal, the wild animal that's also addressed there, is a warning and an understanding that what's in the heart will come out of the heart. What's in the heart will reveal itself in some shape or form. Do you remember the sin of Achan? We'll not turn to the passage. He took the piece of gold and he hid it. He thought he had it well covered. He thought he had it well concealed. He thought no one will know a thing about it. I can get on with it, for no one will know a thing about it. But God knew. But God brought it into the open. God brought it out into the open and he revealed it and he punished that sin. You know, this morning, when God's people seek to hide sin, when they seek to conceal sin in their heart and to follow after things that they ought not to follow after, it will be to the taking away of their spiritual strength. It will be to the taking away of their zeal and their love for the Lord, and they will become unfruitful, and that sin in their heart will be revealed. If we regard iniquity in our heart, the Lord will not hear us. It will keep us from the prayer meeting. It will keep us from the private study of the Word and from all the means of grace. And like in verse 4, God will be angry. Yes, God will be angry. It ought to cause us this morning. Yes, it ought to cause us to cry as the Church of Jesus Christ upon this earth. Lord, turn us again. Turn us again for this people. This people needs a visit. We need a visit, for we're not what we once were. But not only does the church need a visit this morning, it needs a visit from the Lord. Not any visit from anybody. One particular visitor is desired above all else. And that's what the psalmist says in verse 1. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel. It's the Lord he wants. It's the Lord he desires. It's the Lord he wants to come to visit him. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Shine forth. Israel was not fit, in a fit state, in and of themselves. They had no ability to get herself out of her sad and dismal situation. She hadn't the power to do that of herself. Her past fruitfulness. Yes, her past strength and all the previous blessings were not enough to get rid of all the difficulties that she now faced. There was nothing could help. She was like Samson. Samson thought he could get up as before. You remember the story? And he wist not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. That's how Israel is. That's how Israel was. That's how they felt. They didn't fully grasp and understand that the Spirit of the Lord had departed. Oh, how she needed the Lord to come. How she needed the Lord to step in. You say, preacher, this morning, the Bible tells me that the Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. That's right. That's very true. That's very true. But the Lord sometimes does withdraw himself. And God's people can feel that they're like those who go down to the pit. Remember the psalmist said, take not thy spirit from us, lest we be like they that go down into the pit. What was he saying? If you take your spirit from us, we'll just feel as sad and as sorrowful and as lost in this world. because it is the Spirit of the Lord that gives us zeal and vigor in life. Take not thy Spirit from us. We have the evidence in our text, in the verse 14. We have the evidence that God had departed. For they're asking the Lord to return. It gives the very indication that the Lord was no longer in their midst. They're desiring for Him to return. And they feel His absence. And they yearn for His return. And the prayer is for the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. He that rules in the armies of heaven. And He that is mighty among the inhabitants of the earth. That He might look down from His holy throne. The call. Yes, that cry must go up. And it must go up from the Church of Jesus Christ. Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel. Return and visit us. Return and visit us. Restore. Bring us back to our former glory. Bring us back to what we once were for the Lord. Look down and behold. Behold. I tell you this morning, men and women, it's only the Lord. It's only the Lord could restore Israel, and it's only the Lord can restore you and I to what we once were for God. For He it is that planteth, but God that planteth. Verse 15 says, and the vineyard that thy right hand hath planted. We are the people. God's people are the people that God Himself by His hand has planted. He has brought us. He has planted us. Is that not what Paul said in Ephesians? But now in Christ, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Jesus Christ. Are we not planted in Christ this morning? Whatever has taken you from the Lord this morning, you need to make this your earnest prayer. You must make this the earnest desire of your heart. Lord, visit this vine. Turn us again. Turn me again. It must be a personal cry to the Lord for His return and for Him to turn the people. See, the Lord wants you and I to be fruitful. He wants us to grow. There needs to be a casting off of those sins that have crept in and hindered. That has hindered your growth. And you must cast them again upon the sin bearer. This may be a painful exercise. Pruning often is. When the knife is taken out and it's taken and the branches are cut down that bear not fruit, it's a painful exercise. Those branches that the boar of the woods and the animal of the field have trampled down, have devoured and broken off, have to be removed. They're no longer of any use. They have to be removed, cut off. God's children must put away that unprofitable thing. Must put it away. There must be a removal of those things that are unfruitful in our lives. There must be a getting to Christ. Give ear. Oh, give ear, O Shepherd of Israel. The Shepherd is set forth here as one who cares. Yes, He's set forth here as one who has a concern for His flock and for His people. Oh, yes. There is a sense while Christ is the Lord of hosts, that's right and proper, but He is the Shepherd of the flock. He's the Shepherd of the flock and He cares. He cares this morning and He wants you to grow. He wants you to be fruitful, growing in sanctification, growing in holiness. He wants you to die to self. He wants you to live unto Christ. He doesn't want you to be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's why the psalmist cries, visit this vine. And cause thy face to shine. Those words, cause thy face to shine, are very important. It's a very important part of this prayer. The psalmist thought so. He pleaded them four times. In verse 1, 3, 7 and 19. He longed for the face of the Lord to shine forth. That's what we're taught. If you turn to Numbers chapter 6, and we're not going to do it for the sake of time, for time's creeping away on us. But if you look at Numbers chapter 6, and from verse 23 to the end, there we have a picture. There we have the triune God set forth in all His glory. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But in the verse 25, of that chapter 6, we have a lovely description of our Savior. It's God the Son that is at you. And He says, where we read, the Lord make His face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. This is a reference to God the Son. The Father makes the Son's face to shine upon us. And what a blessing it is when our Savior's face is towards His people. What a blessing it is. And that's what the psalmist's longing for. That's what he sees as the only remedy for their coldness and their waywardness and their going astray. That Christ, the Son of God, would visit them again. He's asking that he might see Christ. That he might feel His presence more and more. That the people of the Lord might experience it. What does it say in verse 17 of the psalm? Let thy hand be upon the man of thy right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. Let thy hand be upon him. The cry is that Christ might turn again to us. This psalm, men and women, young people, exalts Christ. Oh, there's people today that tell us, Christ's not in the Old Testament. But here's Christ. Here's the psalmist longing for Christ. And here's Christ represented in the psalm for His people. Oh, Christ's in the psalm. Oh, they would have us to believe that He's not, but He's here. And the psalmist desires Christ to visit His people. That's what we need today. That's what you and I need. We need a visit from the Lord. We need a visit from God's Son. When God's people are drawn to Christ, they become strong. When we walk with the Lord in close fellowship and with our eye, single eye towards Him. Yes, when we have our eye upon Him, our heart is renewed. We'll pray right. We'll think right. We'll walk right. We'll live right. And there will be no going back to the beggarly elements. We're told that in verse 18. We're told it in verse 18 of the psalm. So will not we go back from thee. We'll not go back. Quicken us. Quicken us. And we will call upon thy name. Oh yes, child of God, when our eyes are upon the Lord, there'll be no turning back. There's only a turning back when we take our eyes of Christ. For He is our strength. When our eyes are upon Him, we are strong in the Lord. The psalmist wants us to be quickened. Quicken us. Quicken us. Revive us. Restore us. Give us life. And we will call upon thy name. We need to be quickened. We need to be revived. We need to be stirred up. We need to be restored. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to do it this morning. May the Savior be pleased to touch every heart in this house. The heart of every child of God. And revive it. Bring us back to what we once were. Bring us back to that day when we met the Lord. Can you remember that day? When you first experienced His saving mercy and His saving grace. Oh, what delight was in your heart. What joy was in your soul. And you wanted to run to this and that and tell them of Christ the mighty to save. Oh, that the Lord might revive us again to that. That He might bring us again to that. That He might turn us again to Himself. And to the old paths. And that He might return unto us. Oh, may the Lord be pleased to bless these few thoughts for His own praise and for His own glory to the hearts of everyone in this house.